Right, so you've joined us at a time. This is the last in the 3-series installment. We're talking about kingdom generosity, and we know that God is a very generous God, and Him being generous, He sent His Son to die for us because He loved us so much. And in that, we learned about kingdom management. That first week we talked about we got to manage our resources, that if we want more, we need to make sure that we do well with what has already been given to us. That's very important. And then last week we heard is that what are some of the things we can learn from little creatures that are small in stature, but they're unusually wise. We learned about the ant, that the ant has got no leader, but it stores, it contemplates that winter is coming. Therefore, it puts things aside so that it can have it during the winter. So we learned that winter is coming. Whether you like it or not, well, winter is here physically now. But what we're talking about is at times in our lives where, you know, there's just a dry patch that comes. And whether you're young, I think if you've lived old enough, you will know that there are many winters that we face in this life. But God is obviously faithful and is always there for us. However, we have to prepare. It's just that simple, I'm afraid to say. Is that not true? That we know that winter's coming, just like tomorrow, we're not going to be surprised if the sun comes up. Oh my goodness, I didn't believe the sun would come up tomorrow. No, it comes up mostly every day. Okay, so we're going to get straight into it. Today is our scripture is coming from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 17, 18 from the New Living Translation. One day, the widow of a member of the group of prophets came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord. But now a creditor has come threatening to take my 2 sons as slaves." Remember that word threatening. "What can I do to help you?" Elisha asked. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" "Nothing at all except a flask of oil." This is the flask of oil that lady had. Well, it's a replica of what she had. And she replied to, and Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors." Now, remember that, borrow as many empty jars. "Then go into your house with your sons and shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside when it is filled." So she did as she was told. Her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she filled one after another. Soon, every container was full to the brim. "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. "There aren't any more," he told her. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. Remember that. Then the olive oil stopped flowing. When she told the man of God what had happened to her, he said to her, "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." "Now sell the olive oil and pay your debts, and you and your sons can live on what is left over." And so one day Elisha went to the town of Shunem. A wealthy woman lived there, and she urged him to come to her home for a meal. After that, whenever he passed that way, he would stop there for something to eat. So she said to her husband, "I am sure this man who stops in from time to time is a holy man of God. Let's build a small room for him on the roof and furnish it with a bed, a table, a chair, and a lamp. Then he'll have a place to stay whenever he comes by." One day, Elisha returned to Shunem, and he went up to this upper room to rest. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Tell the woman from Shunem I want to speak to her." When she appeared, Elisha said to Gehazi, "Tell her," now, it's a bit weird that she's nearby, but then he's speaking through his servant. So he says, "We appreciate the kind concern you have shown us. What can we do for you? Can we put in a good word for you to the king or to the commander of the army?" "No," she replied, "my family takes good care of me." Later, Elisha asked Gehazi, "What can we do for her?" Gehazi replied, "She doesn't have a son, and her husband is an old man." Remember that, the husband is an old man. "Call her back again," Elisha told him. And so when the woman returned, Elisha said to her as she stood in the doorway, "Next year at this time, you'll be holding a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she cried, Oh man of God, don't deceive me and get my hopes up like that. But sure enough, the woman soon became pregnant, and at that time the following year, she had a son, just as Elisha had said. The title of the message this morning is Borrow Not a Few. You recall that in the King James Version, it says borrow not a few. What happens as we look at this story is that life happens. Life has happened to this lady. Circumstances that happened to them were beyond their control. One woman's husband was dead, and we can infer that this guy was a breadwinner. And so when he was alive, everything was okay because, you know, somehow he was able to pay his debts and all of that. But the moment that he died, all of a sudden this family is now in dire straits. Now, slavery, back in those days, it was, if you owed somebody money and they didn't pay you back, it was within your right to put the people that owed you money and their children into debt. So this was an allowed practice in those days. And so now slavery awaited her children, and this was too terrible for her to think about. Imagining having to let go of your children so that they can go and work until the debt is paid back. This lady had lost all her stature that may have been associated with being the wife of the prophet, because there was a bit of everybody would sort of like, you know, bow and just, you know, give you a great respect because you're the wife of the prophet. But then the death of the guy now meant that whatever social status she had is now gone. And this is what happens in our lives, that whilst, of course, we're talking about kingdom generosity, is that things happen where things were just flowing, we were at the top, and then just like that, we're now at the bottom. Things are not as they were before. Before we were having champagne and caviar, and now it's just water and beans. You know, so the story then goes to say that whilst in another town, a lady who seemingly had everything, this lady in the town of Shunem, she had everything. She didn't seem to. Everything was going well for her. But she lacked the one thing that would bring her joy. She had money. She had influence. Because the guy said, should I put in a good word for you with the king or the commander? And she says, nah, don't worry. You know, we got it covered. I got my own security. My account is full. You know, I got whatever she liked, she had. But she lacked the one thing that would bring her joy. But what she did, what this lady did, is that the reason why we know she has a lot of finances and that she's well taken, she's wealthy, because the scripture says that, is because she built the prophet a room. She didn't just say, he can use one of my rooms. She actually built a room for him. That's what the scripture says. So we're going to believe that, you know, she actually made an additional, like a granny flat. You know, granny flat where this guy could go in and rest whenever he came into town. These two women had possibly similar situations. One whose husband was dead, the other whose husband was old. So we've got a dead husband and we've got an old husband. The one thing they have in common is that they cannot get what they want. One is completely dead, so this lady has got no provision. The other's husband is old. Now, we're assuming because he's an elderly man, he can't obviously, they're struggling to have children. That's the assumption here. And that's what you have to understand is, but the key thing was Gehazi said that she does not have a son and the husband is an old man, indicating that something was up with this guy. And so I wonder, has life just happened? Because we all like to think of, you know, we always have nice thoughts when it comes to our lives, that our lives will always go well, that our lives will always, life would always be pleasant. Has life ever just happened where, and I'm just taking my props, and don't mind me, and don't mind the noise. Thank you, Pastor Charlie. Just somewhere, boom, so I do a bit of walking. And don't mind, you know, you can just keep looking. But that's okay. Thank you. He doesn't want me to exercise. And so, things just go pear-shaped in our lives. All of a sudden, the bank say you're running your business. And the bank says, you know that you've just breached something, so we want you to pay back all the money that you owe us. And you got to sell your house. That's an ouch. Eh? You were staying in a where's the fleshy suburbs here? Peppermint Grove. And then all of a sudden you have to come to, oh, let me be careful what I say here. You know? Yes. So you were everything was just, oh my goodness, everything is happening, everything is going well. But then now you find yourself, you are in dire straits. You are in a position that you never thought possible. And I know that it can happen to us, to each and every one of us. And perhaps it may have happened. And it doesn't seem like you can catch a break because things are just going left. And so we then begin to ask in these moments, does God see me? Is God involved in my life or in our lives? Does God care that I am going through this circumstance? Does God really care that I'm going through these difficult situations? Now, of course, that these could be situations that I got myself into. For whatever reason, I just kept going to the shops and I kept swiping my card. And then I got myself into a whole lot of trouble. But at other times, it may have nothing to do with me. Like we find this woman in Shunem. She had done nothing wrong, but the one thing that she wanted, she could not have. That's not her fault. And so she's probably wondering, God, do you sort of like see that we've been trying for so many years to get a child, but nothing is happening? I got everything I need. I got money. I got this. I can, you know, I can afford to buy the best midwives, the best medical care, but it is just not happening. We've seen many doctors, but it's not happening. And so we then ask ourselves this question, is God involved? Does he really care about our lives? And I'm here to say this morning that God has a keen interest in our lives. God really cares about each and every one of us. You know, if we take the Matthew chapter 6, it says, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? And he says that, can all your worries add a single moment to your life? And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautiful as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and tomorrow they're thrown into the fire, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things, saying what we'll eat and what we'll drink, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and he will give you everything you need. And I love this scripture in Exodus chapter 3, verse 7 to 8, talking about how God is he's interested in the lives of his people. And these are the people that were under oppression. They were under slavery. He says, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. And he's talking to Moses. I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. It is a land flowing with milk and honey. So God is interested in our lives. He's interested in your life. He's interested in our lives. He's interested in the lives of people that are there in our community. And we have a mandate not just to impact the people that are within this space, but to impact people that are in the community. Amen? And so we find that these ladies then begin to make a request. One, she made a request because her lack and her desire to protect her two sons from slavery caused her to reach out to the man of God. We have to understand that the man of God, this was God's representative on the earth. The other lady did not make a formal request that we have been made aware of in the scripture. So there was no formal request that, Lord, help me, I need a baby, I need a child. Nope, there was no formal request. What we do know, though, that her generosity created space for her in her life. She created space for the man of God, not knowing that by doing that, she's actually creating space for God to do something in her lives. And we need to be those people that make a space for God in our lives. Make a space for God to do what he needs to do. The good thing is that the Lord is always whispering. Our issue is not that God doesn't say stuff. Our issue is in the hearing of what the Lord is saying. Both had to exercise faith. And so the difference was, one was at rock bottom. This lady whose husband was dead, she was in debt. The kids were going to be sold as slaves. She had no choice but to believe what this man of God said. No choice. She had, you know, like she's really in a corner. And so because she's in a corner, man, I got to believe what you have to say. And also she also took his advice and said, go and ask your neighbors. And so she had to believe that they would be asking her, what do you need these empty jars for? So she goes around and says, hey, Betty, can I please have an empty jar? I'll put these ugly ones at the back here. Boom. This is one from Betty. There's no Betty in here, I hope. And this one is from Betty. She gets a jar from Betty because that's what the instruction she was under. And so people would be wondering, why is this lady constantly requesting these jars? What's the big deal? The other was coming from perhaps a place where she had believed, but things had not happened for her. We are inferring that she possibly could have tried to get pregnant many times and may have given up hope. You know, because the scripture says, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. To this barren woman, this promise seemed too good to be true. Because she says, no, my Lord, she objected. Please, man of God, don't play with me. Don't mislead your servant. That tells me that this is somebody who had believed before and nothing had happened in her life. And so she's saying to this guy, look, don't get my hopes up. I've been there before. I have hoped so many times. There have been many perhaps traveling people who have come in town and have hocus pocus, abracadabra, you're going to have a child and nothing has happened. I've believed, but nothing has happened. So don't get my hopes up. And I feel sometimes that is a hard place to be. A hard place to be where you have hoped and you have hoped and you have hoped, but nothing has actually happened. Because what then tends to happen is that you lose hope and then you become a bit cynical. Can God really do that? No way. No way. And all of a sudden, even though life just becomes, you know, this thing where we lose hope, where everything else is going well in our lives, but the one thing that we want in this one area that we want God or expect God to move, nothing is happening. The first lady then goes to Juliet's house and says, Juliet, can I please have let me put a clean one. Yep, it's in the back. I put this one. I tried to wash these this morning. And so she goes to Juliet's house. Can I please have a jar? Boom. Juliet goes and gives her a jar. She goes to Prudence's house. Prudence, can I please borrow a jar? She says, look, I don't have any that I have, but you can have these small ones. Then she goes to Janice's house. Janice, can I? Because you know why? I know that she would not be going to a man to say, can I please have some jars? Because You know, so that's why I'm using a lady's names, because it'll be easier for her to go to other women and ask for jars. She goes to Janice's place. Janice gives her a jar. She goes to the next, to the other neighbor, and then says, let's pick up her name, Philomena. Philomena, can I please have a jar? And then Philomena gives her this very nice jar. Yeah, of course you can have this jar. Understand that there is something that is taking place in this woman's life each time that she's going out to get a jar. Each time she goes to the neighbor's house, she could as easily have stopped at, I forgot who gave us that one. Betty, yes, thank you. You know, so she could have just stopped at Betty's house and says, "Ah, you know what? This jar is big enough. Thanks, Betty. That's all I need." And then she would have gone to her flask of oil that she had, because remember, this is the only thing that she had. This is the only thing that she had in the house. And so the guy gave her specific instructions. Get jars. Make sure that they are not full jars. Get some empty ones. The reason why she can't get full jars is because, well, nothing is going to go in because it's already full. So make sure you get some empty jars. Clearly understand that this is a weird thing that is taking place. You know, okay, I've got a small flask of oil, but I'm supposed to fill these empty jars. Ooh, what's going on here? This is a bit strange. When the Lord speaks, it's a bit weird when he does things. The question is, am I going to be able to listen to what he has to say? So she goes to Grace's house. Now, Grace has got a lot of jars. So Grace gives her two. So I'll put there. Grace is kind of wealthy, so she's got two jars. Then she goes to, I don't know whose house she goes to. Let's say she goes to Unami's house. You know, so she goes to Unami's house. Unami gives her two jars as well. Unami's quite well off. She gives her two jars. In the other town, we have this woman that is struggling with stigma of not being able to have a child. You have to understand the importance of having children was big in that time. That stigma of barrenness was terrible. It was very harsh in the ancient world. There must be something wrong with you. It's not my fault. But you would get the blame. There must be something wrong with you. And unfortunately, it wasn't the man that had to deal with this. It was the woman who had to have, you know, she would bear the brunt. Because imagine she would go to the well and there's all these other babies that are bouncing around. And then be like, oh, what's wrong with you, you know? And so that would have been a very difficult thing to deal with. So have you ever been disappointed? An answered prayer in your life? Things are tough. Where it's just not working. I've tried, Lord, my finances. I've tried to balance the budget. Maybe I haven't started budgeting, but things are not working. I guess my encouragement this morning is that you have to believe again. This lady had to believe again. She probably had to say, you know what? Man, I gotta give it another go. I have to try again, because if I don't try, it's actually not going to work. And even when it comes to your finances, where you find that things are just not, they're not working, Lord, I'm praying. You know, maybe I'm tithing, or I'm not tithing, I should start tithing, but Lord, things are just not going well. You have to believe again that God will honor his word. The reason why he was told that as she goes to Petunia's house, Petunia gives her two. And then lastly, she goes to another friend's house and then she gets another jar. So the oil ceased because her instructions were that once you've got the jars, make sure that you begin to start pouring the oil. And so she poured oil in that one. It got full. She poured in that one. Da, 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 da. She poured in all of the jars. Then it says the oil ceased. The miracle was given according to the measure of her previous faith in collecting the vessels. If her faith was a bit low, she would have stopped maybe at Betty's house. You said, well, that's it. But she kept going. She went next door. And that is why, you see, I've tried to rattle out as many names as possible. And each time she's going, she's exercising that level of faith. She borrowed enough so the excess oil was sold and provided money to pay the debt to the creditor and to provide for the future. Had she borrowed more, now we have none left, because clearly we've gone to all the people in the cul-de-sac in the neighborhood, no more jars. Had she borrowed more, we're assuming that more would have been provided. If she only stopped at Betty's, then this is the amount that she would have only got. She was herself to measure out what she should have. And I believe that you and I, and this is Charles Spurgeon saying, in the matter of spiritual blessings from God, have more to do with the measurement of our mercies than we think. We make our blessings little because our prayers are little. So the oil did not pour out on the ground or simply flow about. It was intended for a prepared vessel. Each vessel had to be prepared by being gathered, by being assembled, by being emptied, by being put in the right position and staying in the right position. When there was no more prepared vessel, the oil stopped. And that is telling us that the issue here is our faith. If our faith stops, if our faith is limited, what will happen is that what we receive also then becomes limited. And as we can get the team to come back up, a few years ago, I recall asking the Lord, you know, Lord, just help me be a good steward of the things that you have given me or given us. And at that time, we were, you know, looking to or desiring to purchase a home. And just things were not working. And you know, the worst time is tax time is normally the worst time. Because tax time actually tells you when you do your tax how good you've been with your money. Because when you get the payment summary and it sort of like says, this is your gross income and this is the tax you've paid. So you're able to subtract those two numbers and you think, ooh, where did that money go? Where did that money go? And so tax time can be quite a very judgmental time because it actually shows you what you've been able to do with what you been given. And so I was, Lord, help me be a good steward. And one day this is the time I spent with the Lord. And back in those days, I would spending time with the Lord, wake up, and this is the bathroom, and I'm sitting on the toilet, and I'm asking the Lord, Lord, what do I do? Lord, help me be a good steward. And in that moment, I felt a whisper that, now, so simple. Why don't you open another bank account? Oh, another bank account. With another bank, not your normal bank. And send your pay directly to that bank and then don't touch it. Do it in such a way that you cannot touch this account. And so I did exactly that. I went and I opened an account. Very simple, nothing profound. Did that, went, opened the account, they sent you a card, took the card, and I shredded the card. Because now it meant that if I needed money, I could no longer go to the ATM and withdraw. I had to go into the branch. I thought, that's a bit difficult. All right, cool, I'll do that. And slowly but surely, that savings that was getting us to a position where we could purchase were starting to get up there, she was given specific instructions. Go and borrow not a few. Those were the specific instructions. Don't borrow just a few. She did what she was told. Get your sons, close the door, and keep filling. She then goes to the servant, to the man of God, to the prophet Elisha, and says, look, I've done what you've asked me to do. He then said to her, go and sell. And then the first thing he said is that, go sell the oil, pay your debt, and then live on the rest. So there's something very significant here, is about, are we going to follow through with the instructions that the Lord gives us? Are we going to do it God's way when it comes to our finances? When it comes to our lives? Are we going to do it just, we're going to do it our way? And so what he said is that, pay your debts, sell, pay your debts, and go live on the rest. And so there was a formula that was given. And because she was able to follow the instructions as it was laid down to her, she was able to have to pay off her debts. Her sons didn't need to go into servitude. And then she was able to live on the rest. And I believe we have to start where we are. She said, look, what do you have in the house? I have a jar of oil. The woman from Shunem, she had to start from somewhere. She had to believe again that God can come through for me and my family. That if no matter what I'm facing, God is going to be there for me. Whatever it is that is in your business, in your family life, in your finances. Of course, if you're single, you probably don't have a lot of money. No, I mean, if you're very young, if you're school going age. But the little that you're given, it's one thing to ask advice about stuff. It's a whole other thing to do something about it. She asked for the advice, what do I do? She was given that advice. Imagine if she didn't. Her sons would have been in servitude. And what we're asking this morning, if everybody could stand, is don't settle for less. If you're struggling in your finances and you've been asking God, or you've been asking God for breakthrough in some area, don't settle for less. We have to believe again. We have to exercise our faith. And what I like about this story is that God has used the medium of work to bless us. It wasn't just about the prophet Elisha saying, abracadabra, here you go. He got her to exercise her faith, which meant that the next time, whenever she faced an obstacle, she's now developed her faith and she would go to God and would not be so reliant on the prophet. Will we do it God's way? Is the question I have for us this morning. And I'm just asking this morning, with every eye closed, that we have to believe again. Whatever it is that you're seeking the Lord for, even though it hasn't happened many times, and you feel that you've lost hope, we have to believe again. And so let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that for those, Lord God, that have an issue or a struggle, Lord God, with believing again, that, Lord, you are faithful. That, Lord, where people feel there is no way out, Lord God, you always provide a way out. That as we hear you, Lord God, as we do it your way, Father, you provide a way out for us. That, Lord, we don't have to settle, but, Father, we can come to you and you will make a way for us. That, Father, just as you came through for the widow, you also came through for the woman of Shunem, Lord God. And she believed again. And, Lord, it was said that just at the time that was specified, she had a son. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord God, that, Lord Jesus, we will have victories, Lord God, in the areas that we're seeking you for. That, Lord, it will be done for us in Jesus' mighty name. And so, Father, I pray for your people this morning, for faith, Lord God, to believe again.